Adversity? Bring it. The struggle? I welcome it. Snooze on life? Never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on.
Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 158. As always, I'm in the booth, now with a big three. We have Tony, the godfather of Instagram, Peck. We have Claudio, the voice, Valenzuela. And I am Dave, I give myself this nickname, the body, Regina. guys, before we introduce Tony, he is a nationally sought-after keynote speaker and co-founder of Why Not You Media, a Forbes-accredited digital marketing agency in New York. Tony has leveraged over 400,000 people worldwide to successfully help thousands of businesses across the country with digital marketing, online branding, lead generation, and social media strategies. He travels the country speaking at corporations and events on social media strategies to build an online brand and generate sales. But by far, his favorite place is the No Snooze Studio. Tony Peck, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
That is a fact. Thank you for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Let's do it.
And we're going to chop it up and give the audience some great value today.
Yes, sir. Full circle, I guess. I met Tony, just to give a background. He runs the largest golf outing.
Yep, the largest charity golf outing in the tri-state.
In the tri-state.
Yep.
So it was a great event. I mean, it's very impressive to run a golf outing, right? But it's even more impressive when you have 800 people
yep,
show up to it.
Cocktail or in the dinner, yep.
An unbelievable event. Shout out Christy for connecting us. But I actually won the 50-50 raffle.
You did.
After my personal belongings were stolen in the gym. So I knew Tony was going to be a blessing to my life.
There we go.
So, let's get into it, man. Like, sure. We're going to talk about everything today. I see, you know, you got some good wrist work over there as well. So we'll go there. We'll go to the cigar game.
Yep.
But there's a lot of value in what you do on social media, right? So I guess, how did you even get into the social media game? Was it something that, like, you were like a Gary V mindset where you're able to foresee what's going on, the trends? Like, how did you even get started with this?
I wish it was that sexy of an answer, but it's not. It was completely by accident. I feel like that's how a lot of great businesses start. And my background, I have a degree in mechanical engineering. That's what I went to school for. I'm a kid from the Bronx, humble beginnings, always hustled, always an entrepreneur, never had a snow day, always shoveled snow. Been working since 11 years old in my grandfather's pizzeria. Went to high school. My father's like, well, I'm a union guy, so you're going to go get a college degree because with that degree, you'll have a better life than I did.
Mm.
So you don't know what you don't know. So I go to school. He's like, what do you want to be? I don't know. I'm good at math and science. I don't love school, though, but I'm good at it. Yeah. I don't want to be in here for more than 4 years. So engineering was a 4-year in and out, and you get decent pay when you graduate. So I said, I'll do engineering. I'm good at math and science already. So I went to Manhattan College in Riverdale. And while I was in school,
Jasper Nation. My father went there.
Did he? There you go. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's funny. Yeah. Everyone's like, what's a Jasper? Only Jaspers know what a Jasper is.
I don't. Wait, what is a Jasper?
It's a dead priest. That's all it is.
Really?
Brother Jasper. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yep. Yeah, Tony's a big Jewish guy, clearly.
Shalom.
All right, go ahead.
So I go to school while I'm in college. So someone asked me, what are your hobbies? And you're a college kid. You don't really got hobbies. You know, you like going out, working out, making money, and girls. Like, well, shit, going to be a junior in college. Don't really have any hobbies. Graduating college soon. Probably get the shit figured out. So I can curse on here, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. Good.
So I was like, I got to figure something out. So I'm thinking about what can I do to be around guys I want to become like? And at the time, you're broke college kid. I'm hustling, making money, but I don't have loads of money to go join a country club or things like that.
Right.
I'm like, well, cigars is something that I think people that have money smoke. I'm right outside of Manhattan. I can go to Manhattan to cigar lounges, meet some guys, learn about cigars, and try that out. So I go to my boy's room. It's a 10-man suite at the time. And I said, I'm going to a cigar lounge. Who wants to come with me? It was like a Tuesday afternoon. We had no class. Everyone looks at me like I'm fucking three heads. And one guy goes, what, are we going to go jerk off old men? I said, no, we're going to go smoke a cigar, meet some guys. Like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I've never smoked one either before. So we'll learn together. No one came with me. So I go down to the city by myself. I go to Nat Sherman. And the way Nat Sherman is, that first floor, yep. Rest in peace. They went out of business, unfortunately. I actually wanted to buy them and turn them fully digital.
Oh.
So that was something I was trying to work on, but never ended up turning to fruition, unfortunately. One day.
Yeah.
But I went there, and the way Nat Sherman is, that first floor is, it's only for people that aren't members. So there was like a little table like this, maybe 6 or 7 chairs around the table, all guys that didn't know each other. Who's reading the newspaper? Who's reading a book? Who's on their phone? I get a cigar. I sit down. Everyone's like 40, 50, 60 years old. Yep. And I said to the guy next to me, hey, I heard that was a good cigar. Do you have any recommendations? I'm new to smoking cigars. Oh, yeah, kid, you got to try this. And the guy across from him, oh, you're new? You got to try this, kid. Pulls out a cigar, gives me one. Oh, how old are you? Oh, I'm 20 years old. I'm in college. Oh, shit, you're my son's age. You're my daughter's age. Yep. And they start talking. They start teaching me what they got going on, what they're doing. And they're all business owners. I'm like, this is interesting. I'm loving this.
I'm on to something.
Exactly. So I started going to lounges more and more. By the time senior year came around, I was a member at a lounge in the city. I became an honorary member. They hooked it up because, again, I wasn't someone that had a lot of money to shell out, but yep. I took care of people. You know, yep. You do right by people. You know the waiter's name, the waitress's name. You'll take them home. You ask how their kids are. You remember little things. And mm-hmm. people appreciate it, and it goes a long way. So by the time I graduated, I made all these connections in the cigar lounges. I became friends with Rudy Giuliani, the Prince of Finland, the owner of Bacardi, and I had all these job offers from engineering companies without even applying to these jobs because of the guys I knew. So I was like, well, engineering degree is great backup. I got the degree now. But this is my opportunity to try something. And if I fail, worst case, then I'll go become an engineer. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to try something my own, this is the time to do it. And my goal was to live some type of lifestyle that I can integrate. Doing the cigars was part of my day-to-day.
Right.
Because I enjoyed it so much. Just sitting in the lounge, learning from all these guys. I learned so much from finance to insurance to investing. Stuff that you just can't learn in school. Mm-hmm. Just from experience.
And through conversation. That's
through conversation. Having a cigar, having a drink, having a good time. So I'm like, this is amazing. So still no social media at this point. I graduated in 2016. And I bought a stock trading course. I had some money saved up. I said, you know, I'm going to try stock trading, see how it goes. So I was trading every day for like 3 hours a day during the volatility in the market. And I would go to Doc James and Mamaroneck, the cigar lounge.
Yep.
Only trade for 3 hours. Yep, Josh, right. There you go. So I would go over there, I trade, and then I had the whole day ahead of me, you know. I'm like, well, what the fuck can I do? Now I'm thinking for the future here. Well, maybe I'll sell a trading course in the future. So in the meantime, let me build an Instagram page so I can market it. So I make my first Instagram account, and I called it Ace of Trading. And all I was posting were things that motivated me. Nice cars, watches, houses, cigars, motivational quotes.
Yep.
Got traction pretty quickly. Again, this is back in 2016. Mm-hmm. Platform was really
different.
The
algorithm was different, right?
Yeah. But I had a lot more time. So I said, I'll make another page. Made one called Ace of Cigars. Just started posting cigar pictures. So I got more time. I'll make another page. Ace of Cars. I like cars. Started posting car pictures. Pages started blowing up. Long story short, I ended up in 4 months having 13 accounts that had over 400,000 followers across all of them.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to do with this. I wasn't making money from this. I just had all these followers. And my dad's like, go get a fucking job because
what are you doing?
I'm like, I'm not costing any money. I've got money saved up. I'm still doing the stocks.
Yeah.
I'm figuring it out. I got something here, but I was on the phone literally all day. I would log in. I would send out messages. I'd follow people. I'd engage.
Yep.
And I just had all these followers. Then one day, someone reaches out to me on my beauty page. I had a different page for every
niche. Beauty page?
I had a beauty page.
Talk to me about that. Beards?
No. Women. Uh-huh. Ace of Beauty.
Oh, well. Oh. Makeup, you have different
like
beauty
that,
yeah. And I have beauty. And I don't know. It's good.
You know, so I had stuff with all different niches like tattoos, food, beauty. Beauty was a big seller. So someone DMs me on the beauty page. It was the first message I got from any of the accounts. Hey, I'm a makeup artist. Could you post a before and after picture of mine on the page? There's no face to the page. You wouldn't know a guy's running a page.
Right.
I said, sure. She's like, how much? I don't fucking know. $3. Sure. What's your PayPal?
That's what you said?
Sends me $3. I didn't know. I reacted. Knee-jerk.
$3.
To post a picture.
$5 at least.
Go feel her out. They had no idea. Yep. So she sends me $3. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So I come up with all these different packages, one for three, two for five, four for 10. And I just start DMing all different niche accounts within the niche of that page I'm logged into DMing from. So DMing makeup artists, DMing cigar companies, DMing car pages. And people, hey, I'll take four posts for $20. And that slowly became a thing. Wasn't paying the bills doing that, obviously. But I'm learning.
But it's making money.
Making money.
And this is now 2017, 16?
This is entering 2017 now.
So, okay.
So at that time, still figuring stuff out. I'm like, the stock trading is not for me. It's not going to be the long-term way I become successful. Mm. My end goal has always been to invest into real estate.
Yep.
So I wanted to start getting around that world to have more knowledge in it, whether I had the money to do so or not.
Right.
So I got my real estate license to learn about the real estate aspect of it. Then I started working for a general contractor to learn about the construction side. And I went to them. I said, listen, I have a degree in engineering. I don't know shit about engineering. I don't know shit about construction. I'm not a handy guy, but I want to learn as if I bought a property, what I can do as a contractor. But the benefit I can bring to you guys is I'll handle the social media and I'll do sales for you because I'm in the cigar lounge in the city anyway and I can get some jobs.
Right.
So that's what ended up happening. They were teaching me about construction. They billed me out as an engineer because I have an engineering degree. So it was a win-win. And I started bringing them business. I ended up 5X-ing their business in 2 years.
Wow.
From $1 million to $5 million just from connections in the city of doing work because I'm around these guys. They trusted me. Hey, what do you do, kid? I work for a GC. We do this type of work in the city. Oh, shit, we can use you. Come to my place. And just started building. And I learned a lot about construction. And then in those 2 years, that was my grind years. I started my own personal Instagram. I took it from Ace of Trading to Tony Peck. And I would just show my journey. So I would show going to work every day. I would show the quotes I'm motivated by. I'm showing the podcasts I'm listening to, the books I'm reading. I would show after work, I'm going straight to a cigar lounge to read or to network and just to learn from different guys. And I wasn't doing what I wanted to do, but I was showing what I was doing currently.
Right.
And then I was going to show the transition of where I got to where I wanted to be. So 2018 hits, and I saw a little networking group in Doc James every Wednesday night. And it was just to get local entrepreneurs together, who's a mortgage guy, who's a financial advisor, who's an insurance broker, people like that, all 1099 entrepreneur professionals.
Sorry to interrupt, but I didn't get an invite.
No.
what's going on?
I didn't know that many people back then, to be honest with you. So maybe 10, 15 guys would come every week, but then it would be only the same two guys that would come every week. Most people would come like every 2, 3, 4 weeks. So the two guys that came every week were my two existing business partners, Fran and Michael. So after 3 months, I said, listen, let's just shut the doors and let's just us meet every week and we'll come up with a business together and we'll build something because we're already meeting every week. We might as well turn this into making some type of money. So partner Fran, he was in mortgage at the time. He was also a professional stuntman. So he's on movie sets and TV.
Cool.
And then my other business partner, I grew up with him from the Bronx. I went to Fordham Prep. He went to Salesian.
Another Jewish kid. Another Jewish guy.
So we were really good friends then. We both went to Manhattan College together. We roomed together. We had every class together. We both became engineers together. He's like the mathematical engineer.
Yeah.
I'm like the social engineer.
Gotcha.
So good yin and yang. Okay. I'll do the presenting, you do the math. And it worked out really well.
Yeah.
So we've always been a good tandem together. And we're sitting down in the cigar lounge every Wednesday. We're trying to come up, what can we do? And at this point in time, I'm still working a job. So I'm going to entrepreneur events, but you're spending all this money and you go to these events. And what happens? You pay for your ticket and the speakers pitch from the stage. They get 10 minutes of value and then it's 50 minutes of upselling you on something.
Right.
I'm like, this isn't right. I'm here to try to get away from being on a job. And I want to learn, but I'm just paying just to be pitched to. So our whole idea was we're going to create events that the speakers, they can't pitch. They can only give value. So this is a great idea, we're thinking. Now we're sitting in the cigar lounge. What are we going to call the business? Fran looks up at us, smoking a cigar. He goes, why not you? My mother always told me, why can't you be who you want to be? We're like, we love it. Great name. So we're running with this. We're going to be an event company. Then we're sitting here. We're trying to plan everything out. Well, we never sold anything really on social media. How do we know if we're going to fill up a venue? We got to book out a venue. We got to get speakers. We don't know any speakers. This could be a flop and we're all working jobs. So it's not like we have, you know, money to toss around to try this out.
Yep.
So friends, like, what if we do what you're doing with Instagram growth and turn it into a business? We'll be a media company and then we can fuel that those events with money we're making on that business side.
Okay. Like from a strategical standpoint, like he was like, hey, listen, clearly you've learned some skills behind the social media game. Let's take existing businesses and let's do the same exact skills and those principles. Right?
Exactly. So we started with just growing Instagram followings. That was all we were doing. We had four different packages, 150 a month, 300 a month, 500, 1,000 a month. Based on what you're paying, you're going to get more followers. And all we would do is we would literally log in on your behalf and we'd follow and engage for you to your targeted audience. So if you're a realtor in Westchester, let's say, we would just go follow local people in the Westchester area based on accounts that have your following. So I'll go to Pax Romana. They have a great Westchester following.
Yep.
I'll go follow people that are following them and engage with them.
Shout out Paulie.
Shout out Paulie. There you go. So they would get the followers that way. So that was what we started with. Then it became, well, I'm paying this money for you guys, but I'm not getting any business from the followers. Well, because all we're doing is following for you and just gaining followers. You're not posting any content. You're not posting anything relevant. You're not outbound. So we started tweaking and developing. Fran has the background in film. So he said, all we need is a videographer and I'll go on set and I'll coach and direct. So we said, great, we're going to start doing that. So then we started content. Then we brought in a head of advertising. Then we brought in a website guy. And we just built and built and built. And then in 2019, February, me and Fran went full-time for ourselves. And while we were full-time, took that jump. I left the construction. Our first clients were my three subcontractors on the job site. Still to this day, a good friend of mine was our first customer ever, Picasso's Hardwood Flooring Installer. And at the time, he was only doing jobs in Manhattan. Guy from Brazil, immigrant. It's him and his seven cousins that run the company. Really hardworking guys, good people. And he comes to me one day, we're working in construction. Mm-hmm. He's Tony, I know you were a celebrity. I said, Danny, I'm no celebrity, bro. I work on the same job. So he goes, you got like 30,000 followers on your page. I said, Danny, I'm literally working here with you. I'm not a celebrity. He goes, I only got 34 followers. Can you help me grow my page? I said, 100%. He goes, that's what I'll do. I'll give you a check for $500 for 3 months and see what you can do. So we took that $500. We became an LLC. And the rest is history. Now he's actually the largest hardwood flooring installer in the Hamptons. He's done over $7 million worth of business through Instagram. And he's done work in, I think, 18 different states now out of New York, all from Instagram. He's changed his life. I talk to him every month. Still very good friends. He's the largest flooring on Instagram, the largest flooring company on TikTok. He has over 400,000 on Instagram, over 300,000 on TikTok.
Jesus.
And that was our first customer ever, which is crazy just to see the full circle in under 5 years.
You made him a celebrity.
Made him a celebrity. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. He's known as like the celebrity hardwood flooring installer now, ironically enough.
Very cool.
And that was kind of our start. From February 2019, we went full time. We never looked back. From there, we just started compounding. I got flown out to California to be on TV, got featured in Forbes dozens of times, and we just started growing and growing and doing right by people and taking one customer, making them a referral, getting referrals from them and just doing right and just taking everything to the next level day after day. And the pandemic really did help our business because a lot of businesses realized, hey, we got to get on digital. We're not there anywhere
Absolutely.
At all. So people just needed websites at that point in time because they didn't even have a website.
Mm.
So that was a good opportunity for us to gain a little bit of market share and saying, hey, these are the guys I've been doing for a little bit. The young guys, they're professional. They can help you with what you got going on.
Wow.
And from then to now, we got a team of 13 and, you know, kicking ass and taking names pretty much.
That's incredible. What a beautiful story, man. And to see how it all connected. Would you say that heritage, right? I'm from an Italian family as well. Italian heritage is big on relationships, right? Yeah. Just in general. Would you say that heritage played a part in your, I guess, eagerness and willingness to put yourself out there? Because not every 20-year-old is making a decision consciously to be like, hey, let me go to the cigar lounge to just, you know, meet some successful guys, you know, and start networking. So was that something that was like kind of brought in into the household and the family dynamic?
So what? I don't know if it was about because of my Italian heritage, because I know a lot of Italians that aren't like the same mentality that I am, especially at my age. It was more so my grandfather. My grandfather's an immigrant from Italy. I started working with him in the pizzeria business since I was 11 years old. He owned a restaurant in Ardsley before I was born, and then downsized to a pizzeria in the Bronx called Tony's Pizza before Tony was even born. I wasn't a kid yet. He just happened to buy
Tony's
Pizza. He's a Gaetano. No, he's not even Tony. Yeah. Just happened to buy Tony's Pizza, kept the name the same, and then my mother ended up marrying a Tony, and then we had a Tony. So that's what happened. It kind of worked out really wild. But while I was working with him all the time through the summers and through the school year, he always taught me, again, this guy came here with nothing, didn't know the language. He came here when he was my age currently, actually. He was 29 when he came to America. And he would just teach me about relationships. And he would say to me, listen, I get these guys that come from Ardsley and Armonk, not because I got the best pizza, but because they like me, because they know me, they respect me, they come down, they have a good time. It's a relationship thing. So he always told me, you always got to take care of people. And then I started learning when I would go out to dinners with him, you go to the restaurant, he knows the owner. He would know the waiter. He tipped the waiter. Mm-hmm. He'd take care of us at the table. Like, this is fucking sick. He was like the guy. And I always wanted to be the guy.
The guy, yeah.
And I slowly, over time now, in Westchester, I've become the guy. Now I take him around to restaurants and we get taken care of and the owner comes out and says hello and the waiter says hello and they know us and everything. And it's cool to see everything full circle just because of how you treat people the right way.
Right.
And I'm so big on, even if I don't do business with someone, but they are a high value and high quality person, a good person, I'm going to keep in touch. I'm going to keep that relationship going, whether there's no money to be made at all. It's not always about that.
Yep.
And a lot of people are so short-sighted on, if I can't close a deal with you, I got to go on to the next person. And I just pretty much wash you away forever and ever. Instead, I keep you in my Rolodex and we just stay in touch. Wherever there could be a play for us to get together or do something together in the future, maybe. If not, he's a good guy. I'll invite him to events. Or if I know about any events that make sense for him, I'll pass him his way. And we'll just keep in touch and bantering. And a lot of people don't do that. So that's kind of what changed, I think, my trajectory was the amount of people I stay in touch with for such a long duration. I just closed a client last night. I've known her for about 5.5 years. Staying in touch.
Yep.
With no intent to close a deal.
Right.
It was just staying in touch. And then she's like, I'm ready to actually do something. You're the only person I would ever think of to do this with. And that's how I come into play. So it's tough, especially in the beginning when you need to make money and you can't focus on making money.
Yeah.
Because when you start focusing on making money, you're making decisions that aren't really ethical or really the right thing to do. You're just doing it for the sake of I need to close a deal. So I always take an outside perspective of even if you need the money, you got to act like you don't need the money and just treat the situation as if the deal doesn't matter if it closes or not.
Yeah.
And you're going to get so much out of it in the long term.
Right.
Tough for a lot of people. Yep. It's a tough thing to be for a young guy to say, I'm really playing for the next 10, 15, 20 years. But what I learned at these cigar lines with these older guys, that's where success really happens. It's in the long term. You're not going to become successful in 5 years. You might make a lot of money. You can be rich.
Yep.
You're not going to get to that level of wealth and that level of freedom. And it's going to take time to build quality relationships with quality people.
Mm.
And I'm at that echelon of people that I deal with some really top tier people, you know, some heavy hitting guys in the country, in the world. And it takes a while to build a relationship with them. It's not overnight. They're just going to trust and let you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to become their friend. They got to like you. They got to know you. They got to trust you. And over time, if there's a chance for you to do business with them, they're going to let you in. But a lot of people want instant. And if they don't get it instantly, they just write that person off.
Right.
And it's not going to be a recipe for success long term.
Yeah. No, it's great. And now I'm curious to know, I guess, for you. I'll start with me. So for me, the reason why I got into personal growth, personal development is because there was a lot of, you know, challenges and setbacks in my life. You know, my mom currently is now sober, going on 5 years, December 1st.
Awesome.
Shout out, mom. She's the best. So not that the drugs and the alcohol were in my face, but there was a lot of stress and anxiety in the home. So at the age of 27, you know, I moved out when I was 19 years old, but my mom had this big epiphany where she wanted to really change her life. And at that time, I would never say that I was addicted, but I was a big social drinker. And a lot of things in my life in terms of my relationship started to really go south because of bad and really poor decisions that I made. And I was always a hard worker when it came to sports. Athletics, you know, taught me some of the most gratifying lessons of my life that I currently apply. Consistency, discipline, teamwork, fortitude, gaining those skills through that. But every other aspect of my life was a disaster. So I came across podcasting in 2016, 2017, specifically the Ed Milettes, like we're talking about off air, Steve Weatherford at the time, E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher, Tony Robbins. And I was listening to these guys, and it was a way for me to shift away from like hip hop. I found correlations with hip hop music. It really hyped me up.
Yep.
But I would be inspired to go to the club.
It's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like literally that the hip hop music, I'd be listening about, you know, girls and drinking and this and that, partying. And I wanted to do that. So something clicked. And I don't remember the specific moment, but I remember being on the treadmill and being like, put on this podcast. So I put that podcast on, and then subconsciously throughout the day, I started thinking that way, right? So then I'm like, oh, it's over for rap music when it comes to me working out. I work out every day, so I can consume 2 hours of content every single day. Now I'll pair that with my, you know, reading 10 pages a day. I used to sit in the sauna for 40 minutes and do push-ups. I'm like, all right, cool. Do your push-ups in the sauna. That's pretty cool, but like read in the sauna. So I started finding little hacks that then over some time, that's how we then started this podcast. I did that for 3.5 years. And I was like, now I think I can help somebody, right? So how did you get started in your personal growth journey? And like, I guess that want and that desire to be successful in your way.
It just came around. When I was a kid, we never had money. You know, it was always fights about money. We never had it. We had enough for food, clothing, shelter. By no means were we rich. We were, you know, lower middle class, I would say. Never went away on vacation. I never traveled. Never went to different states until I started the business. We would go away upstate to Villa Roma up in the Catskills, 2 hours north. That was our 1 week vacation a year. So never had, money was always the biggest fuel. My parents always fought about money. They got divorced because of money. So money was a big driving force. Me as a younger guy, just I had to make money, be able to survive and get around. When I was a kid in high school, if I wanted to go out, it had to be my own money, right? A lot of kids didn't have that. They can just, their dad would just give them a couple of bucks to go out. Me, I had to work for it. So I was always, like since 11, I never stopped working. Through high school, I worked. Through college, I worked. I worked full time in college while being an engineering student. I worked in the city 3 days a week, 13 hours a day, and then I had 2 days full of class and just hustled, right? It was all about money, money, money. Then I got to a certain point of once, I don't want to say once you taste money, but once I started working for myself and I tasted freedom, I said the goal is not money anymore. The goal is the freedom, to have the flexibility to live how you want to live and still be able to make money and do what you want to do. That's the real goal. But a lot of people, unfortunately, you're never going to taste that freedom to know that's what you really want. Like I said, I was always driven by the money aspect. I still am. But now it's really about the freedom to spend time with my sister, to spend time with my father, to spend time with those you want to spend time with. And I have that opportunity now that I get to do business with people that I like. So I'm always spending time with people that I like, which is great. So I'm not wasting any of my short time that we have on this earth by spending time with people I don't want to be around. And, you know, just being fueled by that money day in and day out, it pushes you. It pushes you to learn more. And I, like I said, always been entrepreneurial. College, I started my first business freshman year. It was a lip balm company, Tony's Lip Care, TLC.
What?
Yeah, I had an organic and natural lip balm company. I had 4 different flavors, natural tinted peppermint and strawberry. And I would make it in the lab at college, and I would go around dorm room to dorm room selling it. I would go to trade shows on the weekends in Westchester. It's like the mom groups, and I would sell to them. And I slowly became the entrepreneur on college campus. So other kids that wanted to do entrepreneurship would come up to me in the bars, and we were at school, whatever, in the commons, in the, you know, the lunch hall. And they would just pick my brain about business and stuff. So I started getting around other kids that had similarities. But then when I started going to the cigar lounges, that really opened up my mind to saying, wow, there's a lot more out there. And that's when I think I really started diving deeper into the personal growth and development.
Okay.
I started reading books then. I think my first book ever that I read like personal was Think and Grow Rich. And I read in a cigar lounge at Doc James. And just being around these guys, I was like, there's way more to life. Then similar to you with the podcasting, when I was working construction, I would have a 2-hour drive to Brooklyn and a 2-hour drive home from Brooklyn. So I'm in the car 4 hours a day. Instead of listening to the music, so let me start listening to these podcasts. And I took it to that next level of I'm going to listen on podcasts 2 times the speed. So I would listen to 8 hours of podcast in 4-hour ride. I'm a slow reader. I'm a fast talker. I'm a fast listener. So I was like, this is great for me. So I started doing that. Then I said, this is a small shift anyone can make.
Yes.
Instead of just listening to the radio music, just change what you're listening to. And you start applying that principle to so many different aspects to your life. Like you said, where me, I recently had gout on April 1st. I was 80 pounds heavier and I'm a big snacker. I'm never going to change snacking. I enjoy snacking. That's just how it is. But the one thing I can change is what I snack on. So these little principles that you learn from these things of, hey, you're still going to listen to the radio, but change what you're listening to. You can still do this, but just change what you can still watch TV, but watch an educational video on YouTube as opposed to watching sports. And you're not getting paid to watch sports, right? Yep. So there's these little tweaks the average person can make to get out of where they are to where they want to be. But you have to make that conscious decision to do it, and you got to stay committed to doing it.
Right.
It's every day you got to be able to stay disciplined. And like you said, you got to do it even when you don't feel like doing it. Because those are the days that matter. Anybody can do anything on the days you feel like doing it. That's easy. That's just the baseline, though.
Yep.
That's not going to get you to where you want to be. It's the days that you don't feel like doing and you do it. That's as you're going to make the difference in your life and move the needle forward for you.
100%. We were talking off air as well, and speaking to, you know, doing things when you don't want to do it. So today, ironically, and it's a podcast day, so I get very excited on my podcast days, right? Like, it's something that
I'm seeing
the Godfather of Instagram today. Why wouldn't I be excited? So our boy Sean Degnan, right? Mm-hmm. So we had him on the podcast, and Sean, I mean, he's a tough guy.
Yep.
He's a tough, disciplined dude. So here I go, you know, I cold shower every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you do the same.
Yep. I steam room to cold shower.
So it's become kind of light work.
Yeah.
Showering in the cold, right? So Sean, you know, he's big with this ice bucket thing. Yeah. So here I go trying to be cool guy like, yeah, Sean, I'll jump in with you next week. No problem. First of all, I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. My chest, I called it the booms. I was booming. I was so anxious because I'm like, oh man, here we go. I gotta get in this damn ice bath today, right? And I didn't want to do this. I'm driving there and I'm like, oh my God, how can I get out of this? But I'm like, I never wanted my tire to pop in my life, but today might have been the first time that I'm like, yo, I hope this thing pops. So I can text him like, Sean. So sure enough, 10 minutes before I'm supposed to arrive, he's like, yo, let me know when you're pulling in. I'm like, Sean, all right, I'm here, bro. Here, let's do this. So I walk in the house, and sure enough, he walked me through his routine, man. And it's an incredible routine. But I got in the ice bath today for my very first time. I mean, Sean's a little extra with it. He has the red light therapy, the foot massage going. He had neck contraptions on me. Poor Jackie. Poor Jackie has to deal with this every single day. She made me a beautiful latte. It was a great time. But the thing that I did not want to do today was get in that ice bucket. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, I got in that freaking ice bucket, and I feel rejuvenated today. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just another, I was telling CV before, it's a testament to when you are working on yourself, even though you're not in ice buckets, like I don't do ice buckets, but you've been preparing yourself for moments like this. Yep. And today was a day that I was super anxious. I did something that I didn't want to do, and I immediately snapped out of it. You know, so it just goes to that point. What is
you get the most out of those days too? Like even me, so I go to events. I'm out 5-6 nights a week, which to a lot of people that's a lot of time.
It is
out.
A lot.
I enjoy it, but sometimes I don't feel like going out. But I say, you know what? This is the day I don't feel like I'm going to go today. And usually those are the days when you meet someone that you would never have the chance to meet otherwise.
Yep.
It's because again, you just never know.
Right.
And when you feel that way about anything in life, I really don't feel like it today. I've been doing it so consistently for so long. I can take this do it that day.
Yes.
Because that could be the day that pushes you over the top and breaks through the way you're actually looking to get to. You just never know. But you just got to keep doing those days. Those are the days that really matter.
Yeah. You shared that you lost, what, 75, 80 pounds now?
80 pounds now.
80 pounds. Congratulations. Yep. That is serious. I've done the reverse, actually. I was 153 pounds. Now I'm 230. That's from high school till now. Did you battle weight issues your whole life?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was always fat. I was made fun of for being fat. I was made fun of for having a speech impediment. The irony now that I talk everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, you talk a lot now.
Yeah, I talk a little bit more than ever. First, you know, I used to say dwink instead of drink, twalk instead of truck.
Oh, that's cute.
Stuff like that.
Sounds like my daughter.
Yeah, cute, exactly.
Shout out Callie Michelle. I love you, baby.
You know, so I had that. And I was always a fat kid. You know, I was always fat when I was young. College, I found my stride. I got really good shape in college. But didn't last too long once I discovered business. And I was like, I'm diving all into business. And I have addicted to personality. So I just dive all in and I have blinders on to everything else in life. And then when I started the business, I pretty much slept in the office 5 days a week.
Really?
Just a lot of fast food. You know, I just
slept in the office.
Slept in the office. I would just send that because I didn't know anyone when we started the business. Like what you see at the golf outing, it's all people that I met from when I started the business to now, which is wild. And that first 13 months before the pandemic happened, we got locked down. Those were my first 13 months in business. And I would just sit in the office. I'd sleep there 5 nights a week. And I would just send out 200 to 400 DMs a day. Just connecting with people, reaching out. Someone would take a meeting with me. Someone would take a call with me. I'll go in. I'll meet them. I'll get a referral. I'll do this. I'll do that. And just start slowly building and stacking up win after win after hundreds of losses. You know, that's really what people don't see is the amount of losses and the amount of no's it takes to get to the successes and the yeses. And I just kept pushing. But the health became not even a thought to me. It was never a priority. It was just, I just got to eat just to fucking stay going and just keep pushing through. So go get McDonald's, go get Taco Bell. It was fast. It was easy. It was cheap. And April 1st this year, I had a gout attack, you know, my left ankle, complete flare-up. I thought I broke my ankle. I wake up the morning after the night it happens. I fall on the floor. Couldn't stand up. What the fuck?
Really?
And I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm losing my ankle. Like, this is inflamed. It's big. I can't walk. So I limp over to the doctor, and he touches it. I was like, ow. He goes, yeah, I got gout. I said, well, what can I do, doc? He goes, well, you got to take this pill, and it'll go down. I haven't taken a pill in like 3-4 years. I just don't believe in like Advil, Tylenol, teas, like natural. I try to actually feel.
Known as meatballs.
That'll get us through. You know, I actually want to solve the problem and I don't want to put a Band-Aid over a bullet hole. That's kind of how I look at this type of stuff. So I said to him, is there anything I can do to fix this, you know, naturally? Like, I have my own business. I can take a little time off. I can do Zooms. I got two partners. Like, I don't need to be anywhere for a little bit. Just tell me what I got to do and I'll get rid of it. You got to take the pill. So I'm going to take the pill. So I go home, limp home. I'm doing all this research. I got a bunch of buddies that are like holistic and nutritionists. I'm like, what can I take to get this down and mitigate this? It took me 2 weeks, got it fully out of my system, and I was able to walk again. And from there, I was like, I got to make a different decision in my life. I can't be 29 years old and not be able to walk because of how I'm eating. And a lot of it was contributed to me being out so much.
Mm-hmm.
The steakhouses, you know, the dinners out with the shellfish and the casual drinking. That's what really adds up. And a lot of people may be listening, and there might be a lot of people watching that do this too. You're going out, you're getting 2-3 drinks just because you're out. But it's not making you drunk. It's not making you tipsy. And you don't really enjoy alcohol. So what are you doing it for? Just to be socially drinking.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at 5-6 nights a week, that stuff adds up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I was doing. So I pretty much cut that out completely. I still haven't had red meat since April 1st. I maybe had shellfish like once or twice. And I've just completely changed my life. I do the steam room 5-6 times a week. I juice 5-6 times a week. I'm in the gym 5-6 times a week. I'm overall a lot healthier. And I just feel better than I've ever felt in my life at any weight that I've ever been at. Right. I'm still a heavy guy. I'm 294 pounds. But I feel way better than I ever did at any point.
Yeah, no, you look good, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
No, absolutely. And I love when people share their journeys like that. It's interesting about the red meat, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it varies person to person. So I'm in an infusion room every 8 weeks with mm-hmm. my Crohn's disease. And I just recently had my blood work done. And then I also had an ultrasound of my spleen, my gallbladder, my liver. And it came back really, really good. And so my doctor started talking to me about it, right? And he said, you know, what is it that you're doing? And I said, if I'm being honest with you, I put 18 spins of salt in my water in the morning. It sounds like a lot, right? It almost sounds ridiculous.
It sounds like a lot, yeah.
Yeah, lemon. I drink that in the morning.
What type of salt is it, out of curiosity?
Himalayan.
Okay.
Pink Himalayan. And I've been doing this now for almost a year.
That's even stronger, no?
I don't know, but I do it for the mineral reason, right?
Yeah.
So he said, you do what? So that was the first thing that got him. And then I'm like, listen, doc, I know I have Crohn's disease, and typically red meat is something that causes flare-ups for mm-hmm. Crohn's. Tony, when I tell you I eat red meat,
I'll say it like a savage,
but still, a savage. I want to say, because red meat would still be like any sort of beef, right? Mm-hmm. That's red meat.
Yep.
But I'm eating porterhouse steaks 4 times a week.
Really?
Yes. Ground beef, hamburgers. And I stick with the lean protein.
Okay.
And vegetables. I don't really do the carbs. I'll do it in fruit here and there.
Are you doing this at steakhouses?
I buy, you know, okay, I buy porterhouse steak, but it's still mm-hmm. like red meat. So I told Doc this, and he's like, I can't even tell my partners this, you know, because he's like, you can't pump this. But he said, I guess because you're living this healthy lifestyle and because you're so active in mm-hmm. this way, that this actually must be helping your Crohn's disease, because red meat does not digest well.
No.
So here I am with an inflammatory bowel disease,
mm-hmm.
right, which is all about digestion. And I'm basically beating this disease with red meat.
Which is what you shouldn't be having. It's pretty wild, yeah.
And the salt in the morning.
Yeah.
I do more than half, it's half a, it sounds like a lot, 18 spins, but it's half, a little more than half a teaspoon of salt in my water every morning.
I do the Celtic salt with the lemon in the water for the mineral.
But it's ironic, so, you know, you said the red meat thing, and now you stopped red meat.
Yeah, I stopped the red meat. I know I could have it now if I wanted to. It should be like grass-fed organic.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be eating the steakhouse all the right. time. But
I'm going to be pissed if I walk out of here with gout now.
I mean, you haven't gotten it yet.
So that would be the physical challenge, I guess, that you
laugh at them. All these guys I know,
yep.
a lot of the guys I know are much older than me, typically from 35 to 65. These guys have been eating like shit for decades.
Yep.
No one's got gout. 29-year-old Tony got gout. I've had money for a couple of years. I go to steakhouse. I've never been to steakhouse before my business.
Yeah.
I'm the one that ends up with gout. So I think it's really just based on the person.
It is,
Genetics is part of it too. Like, mm-hmm. I know my grandmother had gout.
Okay.
I'm like, what did you do, Nana? She's like, I still eat whatever I want to eat. I'm like, well, that's not fucking
healthy. Yes,
like, you're 90 years old, so that's not the person I really need to be asking.
Yeah. Well, maybe we do.
Maybe you do. Yeah, sure.
That's exactly right. And thank you for sharing that. So that'd be a personal challenge that you've overcome.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say in your life, and it could be another personal one, what is the biggest challenge that you look back now, Tony Peck, 29 years old, you've accomplished some very impressive things that you've been grateful to share with us here today. What has been the biggest hurdle that you've been able to overcome in life and business, whatever you want to kind of disclose to us, and how did you get over it?
The biggest obstacle to overcome, just starting a business. I genuinely believe it's the hardest thing anyone could do. I really do. It's the hardest job to have. There's no support from people. I think that's the hardest thing a lot of people have to get over in the beginning. lucky for me, I really didn't care in the beginning if people believed in it or not, because I always had that mentality of, it's my dream. Mm-hmm. So why would I expect you, my sister, my father, or anyone to believe in my dream more than I would believe in my dream? Just doesn't make any sense. It's your own dream. You have to have an unwavering passion behind it, because you're the only one that understands it. It's yours. So from the early get-go, no one believed in it. Everyone thought it was like, what are you doing? I said, I got something. I'm going to put my head down and keep on going. And that's tough in the beginning when you have to do it on your own and you got to figure it out along the way and you don't have that support, but you have to just tie yourself away from it. Because again, it's not about people not supporting you because they don't want to. It's they don't understand. My father could never understand me starting a business. He's like, you got an engineering degree. You should have a much better life because you have an engineering degree. Just go do the engineering. Why are you trying to figure this shit out and do something and start from zero and, you know, maybe not even make it? I'm like, no, because this engineering is not for me. So I think that was probably the hardest thing in the beginning was just, you know, making it into something that could be something I can do long term without having the support or the I didn't have connections when I started the business. All the guys I know now are super successful. I can learn. I have mentors. But back then, just me figuring it out along the way. Mm. And that's a hard thing to do when you don't have anyone to ask, anyone to go to. You don't have anyone supporting you. It's just you fueling and you got to believe in it when you see nothing there. There's nothing to show for that, hey, you're going to make it. You just got to believe in it and yourself. I would say that's probably the hardest thing. I really believe that. And listen, business isn't easy. It's not linear. You don't start business and you constantly go up this way. It's a lot of spikes like this, you know, and all these peaks and all these valleys. There's times that you're like, well, is this the right thing? Is this the right thing for me? Is this the right vehicle for me? And you have a little self-doubt here and there, but you have to constantly overcome that because you got to look back and see how far you came from when you started and what the difference has been. And it's not always about money either. You can look back and you can be somewhere where you would never think possible. And it has nothing to do with the finance. Like for me, my brand is much larger than how I am financially. I couldn't pay for the brand that I've acquired over the last 5 years. And that's for me shaking hands, me being about, me being doing right by people, keeping up with relationships. So there's these external things you can take in consideration about what you've been able to grow and build. But it's the hardest thing to just push when you don't see success at the end of the tunnel because you don't know what it looks like. You don't know how to get there. There's no map and there's no one believing in you. It's just you. You got to figure it out. But at the end of the day, you, like I said, anyone listening, the one thing I can give to anyone to overcome anything they have to overcome, you got to believe in yourself. Mm. And you cannot expect anyone else to believe in it equally as much as you or more than you because it's not realistic. It's your own goal. So if you are going out there looking for someone to believe in it as much as you or more than you, don't even get into what you're trying to do because you're not going to succeed in it. It's not possible. You got to be able to be balls to the wall. It's yours and there's no other backup option. I have a backup option. Mm. It was just, this is all I got. I'm going all in and that's it. We're going to make it through.
Would you say, looking back, so when I hear your story and you went through that season of your life, and I believe in the seasons of our lives, right? Not necessarily the seasons outside. But you basically, it was, you had to neglect your health for your growth. Looking back now, do you think that that was still necessary at that time? Or do you wish you had a little bit more, struggle for the word, but I always say like alignment. Do you wish that you were able to switch that back then? Would you have kept it the same? And then also now, do you feel that because you're more aligned with business, obviously, but your health as well, I don't know, you know, spiritually, family related, when you're in alignment, do you feel that you're more successful overall?
So I don't think I would go back and change anything because I do genuinely believe everything happens for a reason. And the way things played out is how I got to where I am. And it could be a few things. I'm the godfather. If I was in shape, I wouldn't be as much of a godfather looking figure. Mm-hmm. So me having a little of a lure and being a little heavier set back then also brings people's guard down a little bit. I'm not like an aggressive looking guy. I'm comfortable to talk to. And it was, I think, a little more, less on the intimidating side, I feel like. So I think everything does happen for a reason. But I think to your point at the end, now where I am now, being aligned with everything, I'm getting so much more out of everything else I'm doing. So I already see the results and the more success I'm having in business because of the success I'm having in my health. Because I'm just able to operate on a higher capacity. I'm able to do more for longer hours. And I'm able to do those more things at a deeper capacity than I was otherwise because of the focus and the amount of energy I have naturally versus that I didn't have before. So now I'm starting to see it tie into everything that I'm doing. But in the beginning, my thing was I didn't want to give up any time to work on the health that was going to take away from the business because I have no business yet. So every hour had to be business. 18 hours, sleep for six, 18 hours, sleep for six. And that was just to rinse and repeat every single day. And that was all I had. It was like the same hamster wheel working for you, just trying to figure it out. And I don't regret it. You learned a lot, but now I'm at the point I would never go back to the way that I was. And now health is a priority for my business.
And that's also where I'm getting at, I guess. So you now know, even if you try to scale on any level, you truly believe in your heart that you have to maintain this. And again, the physical appearance is one thing, but it's more about just being healthy overall.
My goal when I got into this is not to lose weight. It was to become healthier, to live longer. That was my end goal. I knew the weight would come. That's what I play for. I play for longevity. Everything I have at home is organic products, from my hair, my detergent, from my shampoo, from my fabric softener, to my everything.
Really?
Everything's organic. Now all the foods in my house are organic. Before the whole Gal thing, all my art products were organic. That's something I can control. So I'm just big on longevity, holistic, natural stuff. And like I said, the amount of energy I have naturally now, I can get so much more done for my business because of it. So I would never want to go back to that point, because I just know I'm losing productivity by going back to how I was.
Right.
So me being healthier and spending a little extra time in the health daily gives me more output on the business side.
Mm.
And I never saw that correlation in the beginning of the business. I just didn't think that was a possibility for me. I never worked to that point. So it's just, let me just keep focusing on the business and growing and grinding. But now I see that direct correlation. I would just never let myself go back to that, because I know I just wouldn't be able to output at the same capacity I am today if I went back to how I was. It's just not possible. I just have so much more energy. I can sleep for less, still have energy when I wake up. I just feel better all the time. I'm way more sharp. It's amazing. It's amazing what the body can do in a short span, because it hasn't been that long of a duration for me. So I'm definitely not looking on going back. And I want to be an outlet for other entrepreneurs as I continue on this weight loss journey, saying it is possible for you. I'm able to do it. I'm a busy fucking guy. I'm out all the time. I got meetings all day, calls. I shake a lot of hands. I know a lot of people. It's a lot of relationship upkeeping. If I have time to do it, why not you? And that's really the whole mission behind our business and our brand, is why not you in anything that you do? So just be able to help other people along the way, that's going to be the end goal for me.
We wanted to take a quick second to let you guys know that we partnered with our good friends over at Orgain.com. We're happy to offer our listeners 30% off by entering the code NOSNOOZE30. Again, that's NOSNOOZE30 for 30% off your first order. If you're on the market for a new protein powder, nutritional shake, protein bar, or Mike's favorite, collagen peptides, Orgain is your one-stop shop. As all of you know, my Crohn's disease is currently in remission, and the only protein I use is from Orgain. My personal favorites are the chocolate peanut butter and the vanilla bean. With the code, you can try a 2-pound tub for under $20. Talk about not snoozing. Go get yours today. Now, back to the epi.
So you said a lot about the organic products.
Yep.
You smell real good. Is this cologne organic too?
It actually is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's Dime.
What is it?
Dime. D-I-M-E. It's an organic cologne. Yep.
Wow.
Listen, it goes in your pores, the cologne. So.
Dave's Dime of the Week. I usually do. So there we go. Now I got to do a spritz.
My thing is, these are things that were controllable for me. Right? I was like, I want to make the change long term. I'm not going to be this crazy guy if I'm out. It's got to be realistic. But everything in my home that I'm ordering on Amazon, and I'm making the conscious decision to buy good or bad, I'm just gonna buy the good. So I got rid of the Head and Shoulder, like every little controllable thing, the toothpaste,
womp,
my mouthwash, all of it.
Womp womp.
But it's an easy thing to fix.
Yes.
That's the good thing. That's what I tell everyone too. It's like, you're just making the choice not to buy the good product. You can just make that decision just to buy the better quality product for you.
Yeah.
Just use that. That's it. It's as simple as that. Just that. It's just choice. Just like anything else with the health. One good choice at a time is how I treat this diet. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. So it's just one consciously good choice. And I have bad meals. I go out. I still eat bad here and there. But I'm not eating as bad as I was all the time. And I'm making better choices more often than I was. And then that fuels me just to stay healthy, because now I feel good. So I'm like, I don't want to eat bad, because now I feel the difference when I eat bad, which is fucking wild. I never felt a difference back in the day. Now I feel when I'm inflamed. I feel when I'm a little groggier from the food. I feel a little more... You know, just you feel like red. It's really wild what you feel. I was never able to feel that, because I was always constantly inflamed.
Right.
Now that I lost that inflammation, I feel the difference when I do become a little inflamed. I'm like, I don't want to feel that way anymore.
Big time message. CV is listening to this. I hear him back there.
Day by day. Yeah,
that's it. That's it, man.
Everyone thinks it's overnight.
What do you, you're 29 now, right? But I don't like I did this for a long time. Oh, yeah, I'm still young and I'm 33. So. You know, don't let these grays, well, not too many now, shout out Just for Men, but that's probably not organic. I don't know. But what do you want to be remembered most for? You know, you do a lot. And what is it that, you know, is it a money thing? Is it a relationship thing? Anything that you could think of? What do you want to be remembered most for?
It's a legacy play. I want to be known as the guy that connected people to good people, the guy that helped other people make money, the guy that made a difference, the guy that showed up, the guy that supported you. That's my end goal. Just legacy. You know, I do these events. I would like, hopefully, God willing, when the day comes and I pass, my funeral is as big as any event that I've ever done. Just because, like, yo, Tony was a good guy. Tony showed up. Tony supported. You know, that's what I play for. Because I have that opportunity to bring so many good people together that I feel like it's almost my mission and my duty to be able to do so. Like, to get an event with 800 people, that was my second event ever. It's not like I've done many of these. I've only been in business for 5 years. I've only met most of the people at that outing pandemic on. So it's 3 years in. To get that many people there's a reason for that, because I do right by people. I don't work with all those people, But even if I don't work with them and I know them, I go support their business. Yep. It's not about you putting money in my pocket.
Right.
It's about me knowing I can make a difference by knowing you and putting you on a spotlight, connecting you to good quality people, and making a difference in your life.
And you do it well. You know, that's one thing. I'm actually very grateful to Christy for introducing us, because, you know, I know genuine character, and I feel like I'm a good, I read the room well, and I've been around a lot of people as well. So, you know, I'm a full believer in Tony the Godfather.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That means a lot.
Yes.
And
I'm grateful for you coming on here.
Having me on here.
In terms of social media.
Yep.
AI. Do you find that these advancements are going to be exciting or concerning to businesses?
They should be exciting for businesses.
Okay.
I know they're going to concern a lot just because of the way human nature is. Just like we saw with when the internet came out, a lot of people said, that's going to be a fad. So I'm not going to learn it. Then the internet did not become a fad. It stayed. Social media came around. Going to be a fad. I'm not going to try it. Social media is here to stay. Just a simple, just black. Remember the BlackBerry days?
Yep.
I'm never getting an iPhone. I need my buttons. Who has BlackBerry nowadays?
Yep.
No such thing. So if you're not excited about it, at some point you're going to have to come to the realization that it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you better get excited about it because it's an opportunity for you to leverage yourself out of doing mundane tasks that you wouldn't have to do otherwise.
Right.
So I look at it as some people are going to say, oh my God, it's going to replace my job. Not necessarily, and not for, I don't think for a very long time, it's going to necessarily replace jobs. But I think it's going to be a great supplement to produce more work. And you're going to get way more done if you're able to integrate AI into whatever you're doing. So for social media, for example, right now, it's a great opportunity if you're in pretty much any professional service industry. It's a great opportunity for you to write captions. You can use AI to write captions for you. So if you spend time thinking of it, AI can write blog posts for you, which you can then surface as newsletters. So there's a lot you can do. You can even write, you can make images for you. It can create videos for you. It can edit videos for you. So start leveraging for those things. Mm. It can be an AI chatbot on your website. So if you're integrating the right way, it's removing man hours and what you or an employee has to do. So for instance, let's say it's a copywriting business and they got 7 writers and 1 chief editor. That's probably going to get rid of those 7 writers. And now all you need is AI and 1 chief editor to put in a prompt for them, the chief editor, just to master edit it and call it a day.
Right, okay.
So now you're able to get way more output out of that one person because AI could be a tool used to benefit you and grow.
Mm.
But a lot of businesses are going to steer away from it. I already know a lot of guys I talk to try it out that makes sense for them to use. I think it's like, yeah, no, it's not for me. It doesn't make sense. No, it does make sense. You're just not willing to try it and you're going to get left behind just like you did with social. And you see these trends in everything we do. And I'm at the point with social media, everyone's like, no, it was a trend, was a trend. Now these old professional guys are like, now I need to get on here. Now I need to figure it out. I don't want to get left behind. Well, glad you realize it now.
Yeah, no.
You know, we could have started a little bit earlier, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with AI. I think it's the same thing that's happening. People are just like, no, it's not here for to stay. It's not here yet. I don't got to worry about it.
No, it's here, right?
It's here. It's going to catch up. And now what I tell, again, I deal with a lot of guys that are older, more successful, and more established, which I like because I like being able to push a quality product or service. It makes my job a little bit easier. And I know I'm not selling shit to the consumer that we're trying to get for them versus a new business. They might actually have a good business or a product. So I try to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a newer person starting in business, there's much more opportunity for you because now the playing field is level. Social media is free. AI is free to use. So there's no reason someone that's new can't get in front of their target audience versus these older guys. That's the mentality I have to explain to them that it's not about you guys going out of business today because you're not going where the attention is or leveraging these new things like AI. It's about in the next 5 years, new competition is going to come to the marketplace and they're doing the right things. They're going where the attention is and they're leveraging and being able to scale a lot faster than you. They're going to start taking some of your business. You're going to feel it at some point. And the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be to catch up to what they already built in that short span that you've been ignoring them for. So that's a lot of what I got to be teaching these older guys.
Yeah.
Just because at the end of the day, if you can be at the top of your game, doesn't mean you always stay at the top. Just like Kobe's of the world, you know, his last couple of seasons, was an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just the reality. You're not always going to be the GOAT for the entirety of the career that you have. And a lot of older guys, they got to understand that because this is not going anywhere. And it will make their job easier. It'll help them scale more. It's going to do more for their business. You're going to get more output out of your employees. But you got to embrace it. You got to learn it. You got to take the time to learn it. They really like NFTs.
Yep.
The Web3, the crypto. I spent a lot of money on NFTs. That was my education on it. I learned it. I lost a lot of money on
it. Right.
But that was my college education on NFTs. That's genuinely how I look at it. Because if you're not willing to spend time and money on it to learn it, you're not going to have enough knowledge and understanding on it. A lot of these guys, I tried AI. I tried social media. I get that a lot. Well, what did you do? Well, I tried posting for 3 weeks. I posted a photo or two a week, and I didn't get any business. Well, no shit. You tried it for three yeah. fucking months, and you posted a few photos. You didn't do any engagement. Right. You're not posting the right stuff. Of course, it's not going to work for you. That's like me saying, basketball can't make anyone money. Now, it can't make me money because I don't know how to fucking use it to make money, but LeBron James is worth hundreds of millions of dollars to him, you know? Same mentality with AI. Just because you don't know how to use it doesn't mean it can't work for you. You need to learn how to use it, whether it's you taking the time or you spending the money that someone already has spent the time to teach you how to do it. Mm. And that's like, I think, the biggest example. If you're listening right now, you have one or two things, time or money. If you got the time, spend the time to learn stuff. If you got the money, spend the money to be able to learn from someone that spent the time to learn it themselves.
Very good forecast on AI. It's funny how, I guess, we as society, this is patience, right? But basically, we support, you know, let's invest in ourselves or in our family or in our kids, you know, $200,000 now probably in college, right? To get a degree, something along those lines. But we would not propose to our children, if you're older than, you know, our age bracket now, like, hey, take that $5,000 maybe and invest it into something like a social media like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. My question to you would be, when is the right time to invest in yourself in terms of when you have when you have something going for you, right? Like, I don't believe that, like, you don't even have a page, you don't have any following, you don't have any product, you don't have any service, and then you're just going to give somebody, say, $5,000 and say, hey, grow me. I'm sure you can do it, but it's probably not ideal. Is there a sweet spot that you find that's when you should invest in yourself?
I think there's thresholds to investing. I was thinking about this not too long ago, so it's funny you brought this up. I think if you have anywhere from like $5,000 to $10,000 to your name, you should be spending money to invest in yourself. I truly believe that. I don't think you have much more you can invest past that. I think focus on you, focus on getting the fundamental established in the business you want to maybe create, whether it's courses, seminars, mentors, anything, whatever it is, $5,000 to $10,000, invest in yourself. If you got about $10,000 to $25,000, invest in yourself and invest in relationships with others. Taking people out, taking care of them, spending on them, gifts, whatever it is, investing in others, going to their business to support their business. If they host an event, you go to their event and pay for their event, right? Now, when you get past that $25,000 threshold, let's say $25,000 to $50,000, that's when you got some money to start putting into the business that you got, where if you spend some and you don't make it back right away, you're not standing with your pants below your ankles, right? So you got to be able to have that comfortability right there, would be able to spend a few bucks and knowing it's not going to come back right away. If you need that, it's going to be a lot harder for you to actually grow. So that's why I wait to get to that threshold. And then once you pass that $50,000, it's yourself, it's people, it's your business, and then start looking for other assets like real estate. And that's the cycle, I would say, and I would recommend to people. Because I think you got to be realistic, right? You're not going to be able to invest $5,000 and get a property, but that $5,000 can go a long way into yourself. But then when you get to a certain point, it's not just about yourself. You're going to get there by being around other people. You got to put into other people's pockets. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they miss that part of it. And I truly believe, too, in business, there's cycles. Like you said, I believe in seasons wholeheartedly. Yep. Seasons of might be 2 years of you not going out.
Right.
But then there could come a time that for a year you're going around traveling. That's okay. There should be seasons in your life. And I think there's seasons in business where in the beginning you're working in the business. You are the business. You are the driving force behind the business. You're the laborer. You're the sales guy. You're everything in the business. Then you get to the point you were able to work on the business because now you have someone and or a team working in the business for you. Mm-hmm. Then you get to the point to get to really the next level, you have to work on relationships. And a lot of people miss that part. And that's what makes a difference from the guy that does the $1 million a year in business versus the guy that does $10, $15, $20, $50 million a year. Mm-hmm. And I've seen those differences now across the board. Most businesses, 90-95%, will never do more than $1 million a year. There's a reason for that. You get to working in the business and then they get to that holy grail of I'm finally working on the business, not in the business. My business is doing $1 million a year. This is great. And they leave that one extra factor, get to working on relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's keeping in touch with people. I'm not one of those guys that I meet someone out or I see someone out, let's get together. That is typically a fugazi sentiment sentence of let's just get together and no one reaches out to anyone to follow up because everyone got too much fucking pride.
Right, right.
Me, I don't give a fuck. I reach out to that person. Let's get a day on the calendar.
Yep.
And a lot of people are like, whoa, how do you reach out to people if they don't get back to you? Just keep fucking messaging them. Mm-hmm. And at the point, they might just fall out of my roster because they didn't answer me 17 times in a row. But I have no fucking shame being the one to reach out to the people first. Yep. And a lot of people have that shame. It's an ego thing that they're like, I don't want to be the one to reach out. You should reach out to make a plan with me once in a while too. Who gives a fuck?
Right,
because most people don't know how to do that. They're not going to be able to do it consistently.
Yep.
So if that's what you can do That's the value you're giving other people, to be able to stay in touch with people.
Right.
And that's the part of focusing on the relationships that a lot of people miss the mark on. It's really the consistency compounded over time with the right people.
It's applicable to anything, right? That is, consistency and compound. But even you and I, how we got together, you know, it was initially at the event. We said, hey, we're going to do something. And then we connected on Instagram. Then it was, all right, give me, you know, let's go back and forth with a couple text messages. Then it was like, let's put a date on the calendar. Mm-hmm. We got together the first, you know, available date. I pitched to you. You're like, hey, let's do it. Locked in.
Yep.
And that's how. But I love doing deals, businesses, personal relationships. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter if there's any monetary value.
No, it doesn't have to be
at all. You know, even if you're just setting a dinner with somebody.
Correct.
Stop saying, hey, let's go to dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be specific
just
about a date and time.
Pull the calendar out right now. Let's
exactly.
Do it right now. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't use their calendar.
Yep.
If you're a younger entrepreneur, I'm going to talk right at the calendar. If you're a younger entrepreneur, few things I can give you on apps to use. Google Calendar, start to fucking use it now. That calendar should be your Bible, and the Reminders app. It keeps me so organized. I put every little thing. I got to remember to text this person in 3 weeks from now. I throw it in my reminders. I eliminate it from my brain. I got to remember it. I have enough shit to remember.
Yep.
You know, I got 13 employees. I got over 50 monthly clients. I got 50 one-off clients. I got thousands of relationships to maintain, hundreds of thousands of followers, plenty of shit I got to remember, but I'm not going to let it to human error. I got to just keep it in my mind.
Mm.
Use the reminder app. I have like 80 reminders a day I got to go through, but it keeps me organized, because now I just have a random thought driving for my next meeting from here. I might think of something I got to do in 3 weeks. I'll add to the reminders. 3 weeks from now, I'm going to get the notification to go do it. Oh, shit, I forgot about this. Thank God I put it as a reminder.
Yeah.
And then live off of that calendar. That calendar should be your Bible. You should utilize it. Get other people to start using calendars. Just holds people accountable. Like I do the cigar dinner, right? The, the bi-monthly cigar dinner. And there's so many guys I know that I send the invite to. I personally text everyone, and they don't put in their fucking calendar. And it's not my job to put in your, I'm not your assistant.
Right, right.
I'll get a text. Make sure you remind me a week before. Use your fucking calendar.
Right.
It's not that difficult. I use my calendar for everything. Yep. Use your fucking calendar.
Set the reminder for a week before if that's what you want.
If that's what you want, use a reminder and then put in your calendar, whatever you want to do. But use these things to make your life easier. Because I see these guys that are super successful and have these high-powered businesses, but they're so fucking organized. They're running around with a chicken with no head. Mm. I don't have that stress. Everything's in the calendar. Everything's in the reminders. There's no opportunity for me to forget things that cannot be forgotten about. Mm. Versus sometimes these guys will forget meetings or events because they don't use the calendar. Or they forgot to put in the calendar. They forgot to tell someone to put. Just use these things. They're free.
Yep.
It costs nothing. It's just a quick minute to put stuff in.
Mm.
And it's crazy to see the difference on what it can take you on the scalability side of the business.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing that I would say that I disagree with on that statement is, even if you're an older entrepreneur, you should take that advice.
Oh, 1,000.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You're right. 100%.
That's it.
Most of the guys that are older aren't using the calendar and such. Which
but those are the guys like, I write it all down. And it's funny. Mm-hmm. I'm actually an old school guy when it comes to that type of stuff. Technology is not my biggest friend, but when it comes to organization, it is.
Yep.
Because it's the only way I can operate. You got too much going on.
It's too much.
What are you fearful of?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if I have any fears necessarily.
I mean, personal, business. Are there any fears that you think about, you know, consistently or have popped up kind of throughout your time? For me, a personal one is honestly health. Like I have this, I don't know why, I just have this fear of like, I'm going to be, and it's a bad way to think, but it's just me being honest here. When I got my blood work done, I'm like, here I go. You know, I look great on the outside, but I'm going to get this blood work and something really bad is going to happen. That's one. Then I have what, I don't know, I talk to my family about this a lot too. I like to do a lot, but you never know if you're actually fulfilling the higher power purpose, right? And this is not a religion-based thing. This is more for me personally on a higher power. I'm fearful that one day when my time is no more, that I'm going to have an opportunity to look back on my life and not have accomplished the things that I should have accomplished along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you meet your creator. And then your creator is like, hey, Dave, Regina, let's watch this little clip right now, man. And it's like a speed fast forward of what it looks like my life could have been. And I never lived up to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when I have opportunities, I try to take them.
Yep.
And I try to seize moments because I do have that fear lingering in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deep one, but it's something that I do think about constantly. So, I mean, are you scared of spiders? I don't know. It could be. Are you scared of spiders? You know, I'm just curious.
My fear was not living up to my truest potential, which is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I shifted that mentality of, as long as I'm giving it my all, and even if I don't fulfill my truest potential, I gave everything that I could have gave. And that's just the way the cards ended up playing out. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I shifted that mentality. I would say really my biggest fear is losing my sister before me. Like, I want to die before my sister. I don't know if I can bear if she passes before me. I know it's a morbid fucking thought, but that's my little sister. That's my why. That's why I do everything. You know, we came up together, same cut of cloth. We were very close. She's like my best friend. If I lost her before me, I'd be in a bad place.
Wow. And what's your sister's name?
Samantha.
Samantha.
Everyone knows her as Tony's little sister. So.
That's messed up, man. I'm gonna go by Samantha. Is she cooking with Nona?
She's cooking with Anina. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yep. All right. There we go.
So we're very close. So that's probably my biggest fear. We joke about it here and there, but no, that would be. That's the biggest fear. I definitely want to go before her, for sure. Even if it's a day before,
an hour.
It is,
hopefully,
but,
it's like a minute. I don't know.
Right,
you know?
After, but that would be tough for us to deal with.
Yeah,
for sure.
So. What's your vision? I guess for the next few years, right? The 5 year, the 10 year. Cool. What's the vision for the near future?
In as simple as possible, because I want to be realistic for the audience here. Do more, get better. That's it. That's it. Summed up in a line. Do more, get better.
Of everything.
Everything. Anything that I want to go after, do more, get better. Health, wealth, relationships, do more, get better. And that fundamentally could be anything, anyone can apply to anything. Yeah. And I really think that's what moves the needle forward consistently over time. Because your goals are going to change. My goals constantly fucking change. Mm-hmm. So there's no way for me to say in a couple of years, it's going to change. I already know whatever I want now. It might not be the same as what I want 5 years from now or 3 years or even 2.5 years from now. But the one thing I can control is doing more and getting better at what I am doing to be able to get to where I want to be in that moment. Mm.
All right, let's have some fun here. How'd you get into the watch game? Not that, you know, I mean, I'm into watches myself, but I think cigars had a lot for me to do with the watch game because, you know, I always loved really nice watches. Mm-hmm. Couldn't afford really nice watches.
Yep.
I did have a Fugazi back in the day that I was in high school. And anytime I was just telling my dad this, and I'm out to dinner with Butch Nieves.
Okay.
You know Butch, right? You do business with Butch. I think we're going to do a podcast episode with him.
Awesome.
I'm with his business partner, Nick, good friend of my dad's, and then my dad. And we're sitting there and I'm telling him they were admiring my watch. So I said, you know, I don't even know if my dad knows this, but like when I was in high school, I used to wear a fake Rolex to events. And my dad, he's like, it was fake. I'm telling you, I'm like, Dad, relax. I told you it was fake, man. Like, it's okay. Right. So he didn't want people to think like, here I am, you know, here's my 16-year-old son getting Rolexes in high school. Like, we get it, Dad. You know, we didn't have that ability. But so even back then, I would wear it only to like events. Mm-hmm. And I would like, you know, lift up my shirt at the time so people can see. And obviously everyone knows it's a fake Rolex. Mm-hmm. But so that's where my watch interest, I guess, started. But then all through like, you know, high school, college, even into my professional years, I'm wearing Michael Kors watches and I'm liking the, you know, different styles and the different mechanisms. But then you get to a point that you're like, all right, you know what? I'm going to put some money behind this, this watch. So, you know, you get a couple pieces and you start out. How did you start in the watch game? And what's your favorite watch?
Ooh, fuck, that's a tough one, man. Oh, I don't know. So I'm going to give you my favorite watch first, and then we'll get into the watch game. My favorite watch, you've probably never heard this one before. My gold watch is $555,000. It's the Godfather watch by Jacob & Co.
Ooh,
It's encased, the Godfather, and it plays the Godfather theme sound, the theme song. Yep. So that's the gold watch. I happen to know the owner of Jacob & Co. I bust his balls about it, which is funny. That's a big time company. I'm like, one day I'm going to get this watch.
Absolutely.
He's like, I hope you do. I was like, well, one day you can just give it to me.
I'll market it for you.
I'll fucking watch, Tony.
I'll run your social media,
I was like,
Jacob.
I'll take the Godfather pen. It's like 15 grand. He goes, I'm not giving you that either. You know, but that's my goal watch. It's just that's a combination of everything that I've become being the Godfather of Instagram. Because I really became this brand, I guess, over time. Someone gave me the name when I was on a Facebook Live. I kind of ran with it. And I've become the Godfather in the local area. Like, I'm helping the community. I'm helping local businesses. Mm-hmm. I'm doing good by people. I'm a good part of the Godfather stuff, honestly. Right. So that's the gold watch. My first Rolex I got, my dad got it for me when I graduated college. And it was just a regular Datejust at the diamond bezel and the diamond numbers. And this is my second one. So I only got two. And I love them. But my whole thing is, you got to know about who you want to attract and who you want to be like, right? Mm-hmm. I think you got to have self-awareness. It starts there.
Yep.
And I knew what I wanted. I wanted to be around guys that are successful, guys that have businesses, not just successful professionally, but successful because they have businesses. That was always my lane and my goal. What are a lot of these guys like? You got to start learning about their interests to be around them, to be able to learn from them and connect with them. Mm-hmm. They like cigars. They like golf. They like watches. They like cars. They like shooting. They like fishing. You start getting around some of these interests and hobbies, you're going to start meeting these guys and you're going to be able to also talk their language. So my whole thing was, as a younger guy, you lose the respect and credibility because you're a younger kid trying to make it. So what can you offset that younger kid with? Mm-hmm. Knowing shit about what they know. So I'm not the best fucking golfer by any means.
Yeah, are you good? I was going to say, because I'm
playable.
I see you on the golf course a lot. Are you good at golf?
I can keep up with the pace of play. Okay. By no means am I good.
Pick it up and keep up with the pace
of play? 25 handicap. Like, I'll play like double bogey golf.
Okay, all right.
I can play.
We can play. CV, we're
good.
But I'm
not good. You know, but a good guy, I'm like two strokes or three strokes behind him, you know, but I can keep up.
My hand wedge is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Right outside right from the sand trap, too.
You're perfect for the golf outing. The golf outing is not for golf. Unless I preface it, the shotgun, just what I say to everyone. I throw the best golf outing, but by no means am I the best golfer here.
That's amazing.
You know, so, and my whole thing was, you know, when I take people out to golf, sometimes I'm taking guys that are really good at golf, and they're older. My whole thing was, well, I can't really be a value add on the golf side, but I know more about cigars than they do. So I'm giving them really good cigars to try. I can talk about cigars. I can talk about this. And you're able to add value in different things with these guys.
Yes.
You're going to get that level of relation, that level of rapport, even though you're younger, you may not have as much experience. You may not have done something as long as they've done. They don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to speak their language, talk their stuff, teach them something new, get them something new to try about what they already like.
Yep.
That's a value add to them. And that's always how I've been on my journey of, okay, who do I want to be around? What do they like? What do they do? What do I like of what they do that I can actually dive deeper into? Like, I don't like shooting and fishing. Those are my two things. And I don't stay around those two things. I go to what I like. I like the golf. I like the cigars. I like the watches. I like the jewelry.
Yep.
I like the car. So I'll stay in those lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hit on something interesting. This is like a good topic for the podcast, I think. A lot of people say buying an expensive car is a waste. It's a liability. I am so against that mentality. I'm going to tell you why, because it's not a traditional way of thinking, but I think there's some people that could be listening to this that it could add great value to if they tweak this mentality on it and leverage it the right way. When you drive off lot, the car depreciates in value significantly. I'm completely understanding of that. But if you buy a car and the car itself is a tool to be able to build your brand up, because at the end of the day, people make decisions off of people they like, know, and trust, and assume have credibility. So having a nicer car will give you assumed credibility in whatever it is. You know, I had the Maserati when I started the business. I was a young kid with a Maserati. It gave me a little more credibility, hands down. So I made way more money by having that car, by showing up to it, versus being a kid in a Honda Civic, showing up in my initial meeting. Oh, what are you, a kid that works out of your mom's basement? No, I have an office in Westchester. Oh, it's a nice car, kid. You're self-made. And then talk about you being self-made. They respected more. So that's one thing right there. And second to that, if you use it as a tool to motivate you to achieve more, it's worth more than whatever you're paying for that car. So for instance, when I would get in that car every morning, I would sit in it. And everybody told me I couldn't get this car. So the fact that I got this car, I would sit in the morning before I drove around and I would say, I got this. What else can I do now? And it drove me to achieve more because I was able to taste something that I wanted for so long and I was actually able to achieve it. So if I can achieve this, what more can I achieve that I didn't think was possible? So if you have those two mindsets going into having a car, then I think it's worth more than what you're actually paying for it for. And you could get way more out of it. So it's just this non-traditional way of thinking about things that people typically just write off the board because the masses say it's one way or the other.
But mm-hmm.
depending on how you leverage specific things, there's a lot more money to be made in these different lines.
No, I love that. And it's not your traditional mindset, but also, you know, if you eat, so that's monetary, right? Because you definitely have to put money behind a vehicle. But I think, and I think, you know, my coworkers now can attest to this, but I'm the deputy commissioner now for town of Greenburg. And I became a commissioner at the age of 26, which at that time was the youngest in the state of New York. And I attest a lot of that. Yes, it's my work ethic for sure. I'm disciplined, like we spoke about, all that stuff. But the one thing that I did that didn't cost me anything was the way that I dressed.
Mm.
And I would always be tucked in with a polo, slacks, either a button down, and I didn't have to do this because this is a recreation facility.
Mm.
But I always had the mindset of like, oh no, you're going to judge me.
Yep.
Right. I already have tattoos. I got the beard. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to think I'm a meathead, whatever it is. But showing up dressed for a commissioner role, I think really started to manipulate people's minds.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, and then obviously it's the way you talk and the way you carry yourself.
There's so much more past it, but that initial eyeball test,
right?
That's a real 100%. Test. Whether you're in business, that's a real test. And it goes into what car you're driving, what shoes you're wearing. I remember such. I get so many compliments on these loafers.
Yep.
It's the best $800 I ever spent. Sounds ridiculous to spend this on a pair of shoes. I've made so much more money off the conversations I've started off this.
Yep.
Because it's a visually appealing thing and people judge with the eyes first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with all these cigar lounges. I was going to these cigar lounges in the city. I'm the member at Grand Havana. It's the number one cigar lounge in the world.
Yep.
It's 1,000 members, Bezos, Elon Musk, Trump, Tony Peck. I should not be in the same category as these fucking guys, but I am. And the fact that I'm there, when these guys see me there, they assume I'm the same level of them because I'm in their space. I'm where they are. And just by paying to be there gives you that equal footing, which you are not equal to them necessarily, mm-hmm. but because you just paid that differential to be around that place that they're around, they give you that same level. And people don't understand that. And that's a big jump from me saying, hey, I'm with these guys that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not worth that. But because I paid, you know, tens of thousands to be around them, they assume I'm at that same level so I can get conversations with them. It would cost me hundreds of millions of dollars or more to be around that level, but only cost me tens of thousands. And that's how people need to shift their thinking of where are the people that you want to be around? Where are the people that you want to learn from? Where are the people you want to connect with? Where are the people you want to be like? Go be around them. You're not going to be like them. You're not going to meet these people if you're not around where they already are. So go to these places, get out of your comfort zone a little bit, and you're going to thank yourself for it later. But find things that you like. Like, I genuinely enjoy luxury things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I don't like shooting. I don't like fishing. A lot of the guys I know like that stuff. That's just not my thing.
I'm a little more bougie.
That's fine. I'm a little more bougie. I don't get my hands dirty. I don't want to fucking cut fat. That's just not my thing.
Me neither. Come on, Tony. Talk to me here. I don't change light bulbs. I moved my whole house to LEDs because I don't want to ever change it again. Really relate here. I've cracked. No, this is true. I've cracked literally light bulbs by twisting it.
Stop it.
I swear to God.
That's funny.
This is no joke. It's ridiculous.
That is funny. So that's the different mentality that people need to have.
Yep.
I genuinely believe that. So
what would you say is your favorite cigar?
Favorite cigar.
Yeah, that's tough, right?
That's really tough, man.
And I'm curious. Okay, so I'll give you my first cigar that I became obsessed with in 2012 was an AJ Fernandez, the Miami Toro.
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Well, it got mass produced and it was terrible.
Okay.
It literally, you know, at the beginning it was amazing. Nicaraguan seed.
Mm-hmm.
But they then mass produced the cigar and it basically went to shit.
What was your first cigar you ever had? Was that the first
one? I don't even know what the first one I had.
No,
but I was obsessed with the swag of cigars.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to watch my uncle and my father sit there and they would smoke. You know, when I graduated high school, they let me smoke with them. I don't know what the hell they were smoking. Typically when my uncle smokes, it doesn't even have a wrapper on it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have a label, so I don't know. He's that into cigars that he just always in his mouth. And I used to just love the conversations that were going on. But mm-hmm. that AJ Fernandez Miami Toro was definitely my favorite at that time, which got me going. And now today, and you got to be similar with these, with the Padrones.
Yeah, I'm a big Padron guy.
But they are expensive, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yep.
But the 1926.
Yep. 50th year anniversary.
50th year anniversary is delicious, for sure. But I actually like the number 9.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, you can't go
wrong
with a Padron.
You can't go wrong. Yeah,
Padrones, I think, my favorite cigar brand, I would mm-hmm. say, overall for the lineup. Yep. And you point a good point. They're expensive, but I think for the value, you can't beat them.
Mm-hmm.
There's cigars that I've spent that are $100, $150. The Padron knocks them out of the park still. So I'm a Padron guy through and through. I don't think you can go wrong with those. I love the Oliva V. Melanio.
Yes, thank you for that.
That's a sleeper pick.
Thank you.
Of course, I hope you enjoy it. Like I said, I'm a big fan of that cigar. I think that's a great daytime cigar.
Mm-hmm.
But I love my Padrons. I think the 1926. Mm-hmm.
64 is great too.
64 is fantastic. That's more of my go-to typically.
Yeah.
More special occasion. I'll smoke the 26. I do the cigar reviews to try different cigars.
We got
to
do it.
We got 100%. We should do it. I'm getting more guests in the cigar reviews.
Let's go.
We'll do that next time. I like that. Maybe at the cigar dinner.
I'm in.
There we go.
I'm in.
So I'm a big Padron guy. I'm trying to think what other cigars I like. I try so many different ones.
Yeah, there. Yeah, of course.
Ezra Zion's a really good brand.
What is it?
Ezra Zion.
Ezra Zion.
They're not like a popular brand, but they do something a little non-traditional. They're based out of Miami. They're a small operation. And they do drops of new cigars every month, and they text you, and they sell out within an hour.
Very cool.
But they do these different chicken and waffles, cookies and cream, and they're not flavored,
right.
But they have hints of whatever they're saying, like caramel, whatever it is. And they have a limited run, and they sell out when they text. And I appreciate the marketing behind it, so I kind
of
like it too. But they're very solid cigars, so it's a nice little sleeper pick. A lot of people don't know about.
I'll give you a sleeper pick too. Kyle Gellis is his name.
Okay.
Warped Cigars, and he's actually ranked now. Cigar Aficionados top 25. I think came in at like number 3, and that's what kind of got me onto him. $9 sticks. Phenomenal.
You know what's a good cheap stick? AJ Fernandez, the New World.
New World. Oh,
love
delicious.
The New World. Yeah.
It's my guy.
Those are very good cigars.
It's my guy, Tony.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm here for this. Who has had the most impact in your life and why?
I don't know, between my father or my grandfather, I want to say. My father always taught me when I was young, as a kid, you can achieve anything you put your mind to. He would tell me this, though, and now, as an adult, you look back, he would say it to me without actually believing it, though, which, you know, that's fine. You're being a good father by telling me the things that you should be telling me for me to be able to believe in myself. but he never really believed that I could actually become anything I really want to become, but he was saying it to be good. But I took those words as gospel. And I really did apply those to my life, that I really could achieve anything that I want to be, regardless of what it is. Mm. And that's really brought me to where I am today. And then separately with him, my grandfather, you know, him and my father, they both worked so hard through my life. My dad worked 3 jobs. You know, I'd never see him when the sun was up because he's always working. And he instilled hard work into me because that's what you got to do to be able to be where you want. And my grandfather, same thing. My grandfather stopped working, shut the pizzeria at 82 years old.
Wow.
He was still making pizza up until the day he got rid of it. And just learned hard work through him and relationships. I think those two have had the biggest impact on me to get to where I am today. Because it's all the stuff before where I am now is what made me into where I am today. And a lot of people don't think that. They think it's the stuff on the journey, like from when you start the business, have changed you significantly. No, it's the stuff leading up to it. Because I've always been that workhorse. I was big into basketball when I was younger, but I was never good naturally. I had to work at it. So in the summer times, I'd be at the beach club and I would be practicing all day long. The kids are playing wiffle ball, hanging out, having a good time. I just play basketball 10 hours a day because I didn't have that gift.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just those principles of what I learned from being a younger kid with my dad and my grandfather that have translated and carried over to where I am today. And I'm forever grateful for it, because if my dad never told me those words, I don't know if I ever had that mentality. And again, he never said it with the intent of like, you actually could become whatever you want.
Yep.
I was just with John Starks the other day. Like, would you ever think your son would be playing at a golf outing with John Starks and John knowing who your son is, the guy that used to watch on TV and NBA? Yep. He's like, fucking no way in hell,
right, you know?
But I'm glad you believed it could, because it's fucking sick.
Uh-huh.
But it's like that mentality of like, you really, that's really what changed my life. That saying, you can believe anything you put your mind to.
Yeah, shout out Chelsea, John's daughter. I know Chelsea.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. We were just... probably a month and a half ago, we were at an event together.
Okay, there you go.
Small world. You want children? You have children?
No children yet. Not in the near future. I'm 29, so maybe around 35-ish, give or take, a kid or two. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm just focused on wealth creation.
Yeah.
Buying properties.
I'm curious because of what you said that your grandfather and father instilled in you.
Yeah, I definitely want one. I definitely want to be I'll be an older father when I have a kid.
The Godfather. It's fine.
Godfather. It's okay.
You know, doesn't matter. How old you are. Anything else you want to share with us that we didn't touch on, or literally in anything? Floor is open to you.
I guess really just for the viewers, it's more so I'm a big proponent of the more hands you shake, the more money you can make. And your network really is your net worth. And a lot of people, they say it, but they don't live it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, my net worth is way larger than my net worth. And it's tough for a lot of people to focus on building the network when you don't have the money to back the amount of network you have.
Right.
But I'm playing for the long term. So if I can instill to anyone that's listening is play for the long term, focus on relationships, the money will come. At some point, it will come to you. I can promise that. It's a matter of when, not if. But you got to play for the long term, and you can't play for the money in the short term.
I've received that myself, my brother. Where can everybody find you?
My biggest platform, you guys can follow me on Instagram, Tony Peck, TonyPec _. You guys can shoot me a DM to connect with me. And if you guys need any help with social media, marketing, want to come to some good networking events, by all means, check out my page, follow along, and you guys will see the journey from where I am into where I want to go.
Beautiful. Tony, I enjoyed this, man. And I'm grateful for you coming on and taking time out of your busy schedule.
I appreciate you.
To sit with the No Snooze guys. Hopefully, you know, what we do resonates with you and you're a believer in this mindset and waking up and attacking everything that you do. It seems very similar to all that you do. So I always like aligning with people. But thank you very much for joining us.
Of course. My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And for people listening, don't hit snooze.
There you go. So guys, that's episode 158. So whether you've listened to one or 158 now, we're very grateful for you and we thank you. You can always shop the latest merch at nosnooshop.com. We'll tag Tony in, all of these posts moving forward. So hopefully you guys stay connected. Best advice you've ever received and why?
My father's advice. You can believe anything you put your mind to, because I really do believe if you have that mentality, you can't achieve anything you want. And that's what I've applied to my life. No matter how ridiculous it may seem, no matter how outlandish of a goal, how far away that goal may be, if you genuinely believe you can achieve it, you'll find a way to get that map to get to where you want to go.
Tony, thank you. Guys, until next time, stop snoozing, get up, and get after it. Tony the Godfather Peck. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at No Snooze Podcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, No Snooze. Shop the latest merch at No Snooze Shop.com.